President Obama is on a tour of Western states to talk about his proposals for a health care overhaul. Yesterday, he took a break and with his family took in the breathtaking views of the Grand Canyon, where they saw lots of ponderosa pine trees, which we'll talk about next. If you're trying to imagine a ponderosa pine, just think of old westerns or reruns of Bonanza. An hour south of the canyon, you will find the largest unbroken swath of ponderosas. They stretch from the high desert of northern Arizona all the way to New Mexico. Arizona Public Radio's Daniel Crocker found that these trees have a few secrets.
A great place to see the ponderosas is in the Coconino National Forest just outside Flagstaff. As you look around the forest, you'll notice some trees have black bark, but others are yellow.
Early lumbermen coming through here thought they were actually two different species.
Steve Hurst with the U.S. Forest Service is leading a summer hiking tour through these ponderosas.
And they call these blackjack pines, and the yellow ones they call the yellow pine.
But they're the same tree. The yellow ones are just older, says Hurst. At around 120 years, that's a mere teenager for a ponderosa, they begin to shed their black bark and reveal a yellowish interior. That's why locals call them yellow bellies.
A lot of people wonder, why do they turn color like this?
Well, foresters don't really know why. And there's something else odd that starts to happen. But you have to stick your nose into the crevice of the bark to find out. These hikers have now entered a long-standing controversy here in northern Arizona. What is that smell?
What do you think?
I think butterscotch.
Butterscotch, okay.
With a hint of vanilla.
And there wasn't much consensus.
Cinnamon for sure.
Cinnamon?
That's definitely cinnamon.
I think it smells like coconut.
I smelled butterscotch. We're told the scent, whatever it is, probably comes from a chemical in the sap being warmed by the sun. And this flaky, thick bark we've just had our noses wedged in is also the secret to the tree's defense against fire.
When the lightning hits the tree, it just flash boils the sap, and it just blows the bark off. It doesn't even burn the tree.
That's good, because this area, at 7,000 feet, has one of the highest rates of lightning strikes in the country.
During the height of the monsoon season, the storm season here in the summer, there's lots of lightning strikes, lots of fire starts, burning away the competition and leaving the ponderosas in charge.
At least that's the way it should be. But for much of the past century, fires in this ponderosa forest have been suppressed. As a result, it's become choked with too much vegetation. And it's this overgrowth, says Steve Hurst, that's made some recent fires rage out of control, endangering the pines.
When these crowns of these trees burn and you destroy an entire stand, they may never come back.
Which is why the U.S. Forest Service, in collaboration with environmental groups and timber companies, is now thinning out trees and setting prescribed fires so the ponderosas can continue to reign over this stretch of the Southwest.
Here is probably the grandest place in all of the ponderosa forest. We're standing among 100-foot-high pines, dominated completely by the San Francisco peaks, the 13,000-foot volcanic peak. How beautiful.
Then comes a gentle nudge. Summer monsoon storm clouds begin to gather. And we visitors don't need to be told this hike is over.
That's Daniel Crocker of Arizona Public Radio making a quick escape from a rainy forest. When you're checking the news headlines throughout this day at thenewnpr.org, you can also get a photo tour of the ponderosas without getting soaked. Thank you.